Well, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for bringing us together to commune together, Lord Jesus. We ask that you bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, whether they be here in the sanctuary or watching us on Facebook. We just ask that you give me the correct words to say, only what you want me to say and not what I want to say. Love you and we bless you in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we have made it to part three. And it is our conclusion of freedom from financial debt. And so the Lord was, you know, when he gave me the fact that it was gonna be a three, he let me know that we weren't just getting out of debt just to be doing it and to pad our bank accounts and savings accounts. But he let me know that we are actually doing this so that we can be a blessing to someone else. So again, I am not a financial advisor. I am believing that we can, God wants us to be the lender and not the borrower. So just to recap, when we discussed freedom from debt part one, we did an assessment on ourselves. We had to examine ourselves based on 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. We made a plan, which was writing the vision, Habakkuk 2:2-3. And then we executed said plan, looking at James 2:17, which says, faith without works is dead. So then we got on to debt part two, freedom from debt part two, which was from stressed to blessed. And there we had to get our house in order. And we used Hezekiah as an example in Isaiah 38:1-5. We paid ourselves, and then we became, realized that we were God's beneficiaries. So all of the work that we have done to become debt free has led up to this moment right here to help God's people. Okay. I know you're thinking, what are those crickets I hear out there? But yes, that is what he wants us to do. And so I know that you thought you were doing this so that you can go traveling and shopping and, you know, just saving money and enjoying life. But God wants you to do all those things, but they're not as important as what he wants us to do. Okay, so if you don't believe me, it says so in Galatians 5:13. In the NIV version, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, debt free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Okay, so if you're not sure about that one, then in John 15:12-13, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Luke 12:33-34 says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Mark 10:21 says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, I know you got to those last two and you were like, sell all my stuff and give it away? No. Well, he's not really, you know, saying that. What he's saying is that, you know, you can go
and give above and beyond to help someone else. So you're, you know, you are sacrificing, because that is what you're doing when you lay down your life. You are sacrificing for someone else. And so we can do that by going above and beyond and helping others. Now, I'm also not telling you to live poor, like you're poor, because that is not what God said. Because according to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And that means rich in, you know, love, rich in life, rich in those things that where you can go and bless someone else. Okay. Now, my thing is that I do love the things, the earthly possessions. Okay, not above God, but there are some perks. Okay, but those earthly possessions cannot go with you. And why would you want to take them with you? Because there are better treasures in heaven. Okay, so you can enjoy the things that are here on this earth. Just don't overindulge in them to where that you can't, God can't see his vision for you because you have all this money stacked in your face, these possessions, these things that are controlling you that aren't necessarily making you happy, but they're to, you know, show everyone else, this is what I have. So as I was going through this, there is a plethora of scriptures about how God wants us to help the unfortunate. And so I'm going to give some of those to you. So Hebrews 13 and 16 in the NIV says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Matthew 5:42, NIV. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now that one was a little tricky for me, because, you know, I'm like, borrowing. Yeah, some people don't believe in giving back after they borrow. But then, you know, along the way, the Lord taught me that if I can't afford to let it go, don't let anyone borrow it. Okay? And I did find a scripture that said, you're not supposed to ask for it back if they borrow from you and don't give it, don't pay you. And if they steal from you, you're not supposed to ask for that back. And it's funny because, you know, when we things are stolen from us, the first thing we do is going to call the police and say, this was stolen. And according to God's word, we're not supposed to do that, which I thought was very surprising. And I do have that scripture, but I know it's here, but we'll talk about that later. Let's see. And then let me go back here. Sorry about that. Okay. And then in Romans 12:13 in the NIV says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Proverbs 3:27 in the NIV says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. So that tells us that sometimes we may not have it to give, right? So the Lord doesn't want you to give when you are in need. Because how can you help someone when you need to be helped yourself? You know, and so he wants you to do it when it is appropriate, when you can afford to do it, when you have the time to do it, things like that. Luke 3:10-11 in the King James Version says, he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. So that means that if you have extra, bless someone else with it. If you have food and you know someone's hungry, bless that person with the meal. I've spoken on this before. I ran into a man in Phoenix City who every time I heard this voice, and he's always singing Christian music, and I heard this voice and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. Like, the voice was beautiful, but I never saw him. And then I would continue to go to the area and I would hear him. And finally I saw him, and he was, down and out. But the one thing I noticed about him, he never asked for help. And so one day, I was talking to him and I let him know, I was like, oh my gosh, you have a beautiful voice. And although he didn't have much, he said, and God is so good to me. He has blessed me so. And I thought, here I was that day complaining because, of the price of something in the store. And this person is just blessed to be alive. That was his thought. And so I had a little change in my pocket, and I gave it to him. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. He was very appreciative. And then I would run into him again, still singing, still not asking for help. So I made it my mission, because the Lord put it on my heart, to bless him. And so I would, every time I would see him, I would bless him. And one day he said, hey, friend. And I said, hey, friend. I said, we've been communicating, but I have no idea what your name is. It was just that the Lord sent me to him to be a blessing. And no matter what amount I gave him, he was happy with what he had. And then I met his sister, and she had just the same, vibrant spirit. And I asked them their names, and they told me. And one day I saw her in the store, and I called her by name. And she said, oh my gosh, you know my name? You remember me? And I thought, wow, the smallest things that we can do for people, is a blessing to them. Just remembering their names was amazing to them. I even went days I didn't have money, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I don't have anything. And they're like, no, you're fine. Thank you for stopping by and talking to us. So you can be a blessing to someone without being a financial blessing. So then in Matthew 10 and 8 in the New Living Translation says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. And if you are a follower of Christ, Christ has given us so much freely. Everything that we have, he gives to us freely. And so we are to do that, do the same to others. Deuteronomy 15 and 11 in the Amplified Version. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. So that means there are always going to be someone who is poor and going to be in need. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and to your poor in your land. Isaiah 1:17 in the New Living Translation says, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, and fight the rights of widows. You see, those are the less fortunate. And God is commanding this. This is not something I'm making up. These are scriptures that are in the Bible. Romans 12 and 10 in the New Living Translation says, love each other with genuine affection, not the fake stuff. You need to be real about it. Don't do things just so that others, you can say, hey, look what I did for this person. You should never let the right hand know what the left is doing, and vice versa. So you do these things with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So as I was saying earlier, helping others does not always have to be financial. In Galatians 6:2, in the New Living Translation, it says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. So the Lord is asking you to share each other's burdens. When someone is grieving, you know, you can be a support that way. It could be they need a ride somewhere. You can be a support that way and not ask them for gas money. Because I know some people who would do that. You ask them for help and the first thing they say is, do you have any gas money? So 1 Thessalonians 5:11 in the New Living Translation says, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. So the one thing I do like about coming here is that you guys are so encouraging. Even when with me, and I can speak for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but even when I don't feel like I'm doing my best, you all are so encouraging to where I feel like, yeah, I probably could do this. And it has made getting up here a lot easier. And so those words that you share with me, they do matter. And so I do ask that you continue to give genuine encouragement. Okay. So blessing others honors God. Again, as Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens. In this way, you obey the law of Christ. Ephesians 2:10. The NIV says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So this is nothing new. God planned it in advance for us to be free from debt so that we could bless others. Okay. Acts 20:35, the NIV, says, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it's so funny because that is something that I have, you know, kept in the back of my mind for years, ever since I was little. And so it was something my grandfather used to tell us. And I take so much joy in blessing others, giving gifts, and, you know, just genuinely helping people out of the kindness of my heart, not for any type of, you know, glory or anything like that. It's a joy that it's hard to explain. And don't get me wrong, I love to receive gifts. But I'm so much happier when I give them, because I love to see the look on people's faces and, you know, the joy that they receive when I give. And call that selfish. I'm okay with being selfish about blessing others. So I know that I'm talking a lot about giving to others, but guess what? There is a blessing in giving. Proverbs 22:9 says, and I paraphrase these, the generous will be blessed. Proverbs 11:24-25 says the generous person will prosper. Hebrews 6:10 says God will not forget the love you show by helping the poor. Proverbs 19:17, the Lord will reward you for helping the poor. So there is a blessing in helping. Just don't go into blessing others with the mindset of, what is God gonna do for me? That is the wrong attitude. I like to always say it's a blessing to be a blessing. That is something that I say quite often. And it really is a blessing to be a blessing, because without the Lord, I wouldn't have a job. Without the job, I would not have those finances that I have to bless others. So yes, it is definitely a blessing to be a blessing. I know you're thinking, okay, I'm giving away all this money. I'm giving away all this time. What does that leave for me? Got something for you for that too. All right. Psalms 34, 8 through 9 says, and I'm paraphrasing partly, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in the Lord. Fear him and you will lack for nothing." Now, when you think of, a lot of people in the natural think of fear, you know, it's being scared. But in the biblical sense, fear means respect, honor, love. So when you respect, honor, and love God, you will lack for nothing. So in that, you will still be able to bless others. I'm not sure if you've ever noticed that sometimes when you have bills, and you have a lot of bills, and you have a little money, and then you give your tithes, you pay your bills, and yet when you calculate it before, you didn't have enough money. But then when you got done paying the bills, you had an overflow. I've had that happen and I still couldn't figure it out. I just said, thank you, Lord. I mean, like, what else can you say? Because you know that your math did not add and subtract to what was left over. And so that is because you are fearing the Lord. In Psalm 23 and 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." I like to say, God is all I need, and I'm good. All right. So, and it, you know, even the Bible has something just for the women. It says the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 and 20 has extravagant generosity. That's awesome. That is some generosity. Okay. And she's always helps the poor. Okay. So I just wanted to, just give a little testimony. Okay. A couple of testimonies. because the Lord has been so good to me, and to my husband. So we, as you all know, we all decided, we had decided to become debt free, and we've done it many times, but there was something about it in December of last year that just, I don't know. It was as if I, you know, made the decision and that someone just pushed me and I went forward, and it was at this amazing speed that I thought, oh, wow, let me, you know, hold on tight because something amazing is about to happen. And so, like I said, it was December of last year when we decided that we wanted to become debt-free by December of this year, so 1 year. And the Lord was on board because he doesn't want us to be in debt. He wants us to be the lender and not the borrower. And so we decided to sit down and calculate debt. It was a lot. To the tune of $37,000. That included, you know, owing the IRS, our truck, and credit cards. Did not include the house, because that's even more debt. But we thought we can get this done by December. So as we started to pay these things off, January, the IRS was paid off. Okay. March, the truck was paid off. Right now, we are still with the credit card thing. But 90% of the credit card is paid off. So by the end of this month, we will be debt free with the credit card, the truck, and the IRS. And so, you know, I calculated and I could not for the life of me figure out how we were able to pay, you know, $33,000 out of debt in 8 months. Because we still have a lot, of bills on top of what we're trying to do. But I believed in the confession that we speak over our tithes and offerings. And that's why I mentioned that before, that we should, you know, be happy and, you know, speak over your tithes and offering with a zeal, you know, just be all about it. And so I was like, yep, that is what I'm going to do. And checks in the mail, you know, and I said, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing here. So, you know, even in all of that, you know, checks just still kept coming. People were saying that they owed us, that we overpaid on interest on things, like just random things. And I thought, wow, believing, it's all about believing. You can say things all the time. You can say them 50,000 times, but if you don't believe it, it's not gonna happen. And so I believed, and in that, our mindsets changed. So it was more like, okay, we can afford these things, but do we need these things? And so we were able to cut back on the spending. And then, you know, came up, the Lord keeps imparting these little nuggets in my brain, and I love them, because, you know, it's like, okay, now that you've done this, you pay these bills every month, I want you to put them on your credit card. And I thought, for real? The credit cards we're trying to pay off? And he said yes. So the ones that were paid off, we started doing that, but we pay them every time they were due, because that is what we were going to do anyway. The credit cards offered rewards, cash rewards. And so some things that we had, like we love Sam's. And so, you know, we have the membership. It covered that when it was due again, because of all the points that we had, you know, gathered and earned. We love Walmart. So we did that same thing with them, and we earned enough points to pay that membership. So in spending properly, we were able to earn money to pay for our spending, you know, but that was what God said. So he told me, he said, what you're going to do is all of your bills from now on are going to go on those cards, but you have still got the budget, because that is, you know, how we're going to do this. And that is, so I like to call that my little side hustle. You know, because I like to shop anyway, so why not earn a little money on the side with that? With that, I just believe that, you know, just continue to believe that these things will happen for you. And I've, like I said prior, we don't all have the same finances. Some of yours may be better than mine. Praise God. You know, I am happy, you know, for your blessing. And we have to do that. You know, we can't see other people's blessings and get jealous, because what God has for you is for you. What God has for them is for them. And so you have to keep that in mind and wait. I have another, prayerfully, I will have a couple of more testimonies coming in the next few months. So I'm really excited about some things. Another testimony I want to give is that, last week, okay, not last week, my car's been knocking a lot. When I would put it in reverse and turn the wheel, I'd hear this knocking sound. It was very quiet, so me being me said, oh yeah, okay, so I'll just back straight up and it doesn't knock, so that I don't have to spend any money. Yes, I did that for 2 months. And then finally the noise got louder and there was nothing that I could do. So I said, okay, Lord, I need you to guide me somewhere, because I remember your testimony, Pastor, about the Lord guiding you to where to get repairs done. And so I was praying about it and I was like, okay, Lord, I researched and I know how much the average cost of this is going to be. I said, so I'm just asking that you, first, when I get there, I don't want to wait a long time. I said, and then after that, I want you to bless me with an amount that I can afford. And I would like it to be done like today. I know. So demanding. But the Lord knew my heart. But then I had to think about it. And I said, Lord, you know what I can afford. Don't let it be what I can afford. Let it be way less than I can afford. So as I'm driving, you know, I ended up going to the repair shop. And I get there and they're like, okay, well, we'll get you in. And so that morning they had let me off work for an hour, you know, come in an hour, because I'd worked overtime, like 2 hours over. And since they wanted to cut down on overtime, I'm like, yeah, so can I come in an hour late and leave an hour early? She was like, sure. I said, yes, because I didn't want to be at work. Anyway, so, but thank you, Lord, for the job. So I get there at 8:05 because I really do try to get there on time. And so there are other people ahead of me. And I was just like, yeah, this is not going to be good. But the blessing in it was that I worked two blocks from the place. And so I called my office manager and I was like, can somebody come get me? And she's like, I thought you were going to walk. I said, normally I would, but this is downtown and I have my purse. So we're going to be safe and not sorry. So she sent someone to get me. By the time I made it there, within 30 minutes, she calls and she goes, okay, so we know what's wrong with your car. I said, okay, give it to me. And she said, okay, I'm going to rip it off. I'm going to rip this Band-Aid off. And she gave me the price. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And she said, excuse me? I said, I was expecting almost three times that. And you just told me that? She said, no one ever is happy when I give these kind of numbers. She said, well, whatever you did, you know, to get the result that you want, keep doing it. I said, I prayed about it. And so she said, I said, okay, so when can you do it? And she says, we can do it now. Really? Okay, let's go for it. So then she gives me a call at 11:30 and she said, hey, your car is ready to be picked up. And I thought, well, look at you, Lord. He answered every single one. And I said, well, look at that, you know, and I attribute that to the, you know, giving my tithe, blessing others. And so that's where that comes in, where you get blessed for being a blessing. And I thought, wow. So I went to pick up my car. They took me down there to get it. And I got back to work after lunch. I'd gone and gotten lunch and everything. And someone asked, so when are you going to get your car? I said, my car is outside the parking lot. I don't know what you're talking about. But it was just amazing how the Lord just answered that prayer. I mean, like, instantly. It took less than 4 hours to do everything. And it was under what I had expected. And so, you know, we should, like you say, not put God in a box. God can do so much. And for someone else, that may seem like really simple. But that was so amazing to me that, you know, now with the extra that I actually have left over, you know, I'm able to bless others. I'm able to, you know, get this card on down. And he is staying true to his promise to me that at the end of the year, this debt will be gone. And so I just thank him so much for allowing me to be, you know, to a budget so that I can be a blessing, or so that I can receive blessings to be a blessing. So I really do hope that this blessed you all as much as it blessed me, because it was so exciting to do this lesson. It really was. I mean, I was excited about, you know, showing you all how to get out of debt, but it really made me excited to know why God wants us to be out of debt. So many blessings to you all. Thank you.